Welcome, everybody. How to sell any product that can be delivered digitally. So we're going to be selling things and we're going to be giving them away and we're going to be downloading them. So let's get going. Do you want to introduce us, Robert?
Yeah, let's do this. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Again, we've got Chris Garrett, myself, Robert Bruce. We've got Amelia Briscoe and Brian Hayes. And we're going to go over this whole idea of selling digital downloads. A lot of this, I think, is going to be pretty straightforward for most of you, kind of the concepts, but we are going to get into some nitty gritty of, you know, how to do this with Rainmaker. And we'll close up, today with a short Q&A for specific questions, but, there is a link, I believe, in the chat for a Q&A page. We are going to follow this up next Tuesday, same time. Same day, 1 week from today, with a full Q&A live episode of this as well. So as we're going through this stuff, note your stuff down, questions you may have, and a lot of that I think we'll be able to cover a little bit today and then more next week in that specific Q&A. And that is in the chat, right? Can everybody see
that?
I've just
put it in.
Okay. You can drop questions there for next week. And let's get on with this show. So what's on the plate for today? We're going to go over the definition of a digital download. We're going to go over the ideas of marketing digital downloads, what that means, what that looks like, how to prepare digital products that you are going to put up for sale. And then the process of selling that digital product, and then specifically some very clear specifics from Amelia. She's going to go over how to do it with Rainmaker. And then we'll, like I said, go over questions that you have. So, Mr. Garrett, what exactly is a digital download?
Right. So a digital download is anything that can be purchased and delivered digitally as ones and zeros. What does that mean? Most popular is going to be your ebooks, videos. So video stream or video download, audio MP3, you know, like your podcasts, audio files, audio books. But it could be workshops like webinar recordings or live streams or a video camera in a classroom, right? But it could also be tickets. When we sold our conference tickets, it was pretty much a receipt people got, right? Mm-hmm. They were paying online and getting an email to say, okay, you signed up, and we would give them access to like a member area. And obviously courses, Studio Press, we sell themes. All it is a digital download. It's a zip file. Plugins, that's a zip file as well. And then the software licenses. I just bought some software the other day, some 3D software. And again, all I got was a receipt, but it had a license key in it. And so we could download the software as a trial, but to use it without watermarks and limitations, you have to put the license in.
We're supposed to keep those licenses, right? I don't know where to keep them.
I just keep them in Gmail and then can't find them later because the company that you buy it from isn't the company.
I feel like I'm going to get arrested or something when using this software. And anyway.
Yeah. And then you reinstall your operating system, it'll not let you put the software in because you've used it already. Anyway.
That's right. Just click agree.
Yeah. So lots of things are PDFs, but it doesn't have to be a book or an ebook. It can be a checklist. You know, worksheet, white papers, as we said, software license. So really anything that can be delivered by ones and zeros, but the amount of things that can be delivered by ones and zeros is really expanding now. I used to sell consulting and coaching digitally because, you know, you sign up online and then you get an appointment calendar. So really you don't have to think in terms of PDFs or zip files, but really that's mostly what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, this is interesting. It's kind of a mindset thing of the first thing you think of is ebooks, audio, video. But as you've said here in this list, kind of, I mean, when you start getting out of that box and tickets and checklists and licensing and what you just said, something that can be you know, it's not bricks and mortar. It's not like you're meeting in person, but it is your time. You know, you're selling a consultation via Skype or whatever. Yeah. That still can be considered a digital download. That, I guess the idea here is, as you say, I mean, it's limited only by your imagination. Yeah. So it, getting out of the idea of kind of the basics that we've started with in this first 20 years of the internet.
Yeah.
All right. So what is, this is one of my favorite questions and ideas is what is marketing and where specifically, where do you begin with the, within the idea of marketing in the context of selling digital downloads? How do I start putting this idea together in my head that can then become an actual strategy, you know, in the real world?
And this is where people get into trouble, because the worst thing you can do is build your product first and then try to find a market for it, right? Hmm. The build a better mousetrap approach. Now, people can do that, and they have done that, but really, start with who you want to speak to, who you want to develop for, your product for, and find something that fits them. So it's not about, I'd like to write a book and then see if anybody will buy it. Now, as I said, people have done that. People enjoy that. You know, if it's a passion project, go for it. But if you actually want to make a business, you're better off finding a market first. Find the who and then develop the what. And then if you do it that way, it's customer-centric, something we all want to be. And as customers, we all want customer-centric customers, companies. So it just makes sense. It's easier for you as marketing and to develop your product. And we talk about the minimum viable product, where you develop it in cooperation with your customers, which is even better. But the main thing is you need to find an audience who want what you can develop. So don't make it difficult for yourself. And, you know, we call it finding an audience of hungry buyers, which is, you know, it's something we talk about on the next slide.
Yeah. This is that thing, too, where people always come. We get the question all the time of, hey, I made this thing. Help me sell it. Help me market it, rather. Yeah. How do I market it? Give me some marketing advice. Give me some marketing tips. And it's like, well, sometimes that can work out. But to your point, Chris, it's like you got to start. It's got to be baked in. It's got to be from the very beginning, these considerations of who you're marketing to, who you're talking to, rather than as an afterthought, something that you – marketing is not something you know, tack on at the end.
Yeah. If you can find people who have a problem you can solve, then it all becomes easier. It becomes more obvious and it becomes more fun. And the people you reach and help with it, they respond a lot more gratefully. They cooperate more. So the first thing is find people with problems. And you can do that in many ways. My go-to is social media, because social media is a complaint delivery system, right? People go on Twitter and Facebook to complain and to say, I've got a problem. Finding problems is not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all there. Twitter search, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and real quick, we're going to go through this numbered list of how to actually go about this and how to think about this. So number one, find people who have a problem you can solve. Number two, people who have a goal you can help with. What does that mean?
People are in different mindsets. One is towards, which is a goal they want to achieve, and the other is a problem they want to solve, which is away from. And a lot of times there's a towards and away from wrapped in the same thing. If you think about relationships, if you're selling relationship advice or how to date or how to find a partner, you've got a towards, which is I want to live happily ever after in a relationship, but you've got an away from, which is I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to have the failures I've had before. So find people who you can help towards their goal and away from their problems. And when you do that, you can actually, it's easier to reach people because you understand them better. So, item number three is people you can actually reach. There's no point in saying, okay, I've identified that billionaires have this problem that I can solve if you can't reach any billionaires.
Which can be interesting these days, obviously, with the internet. 30 years ago, it might have been, but it's still extremely valid. Can you actually reach the people that you want to reach?
Yeah, and can you reach them in a way that's going to be profitable for you? Because it could be that you can reach them through really expensive advertising, but not at a profitable level, right? So it's people you can reach in sufficient numbers that you can build a business around it and make a profit. And that ties into the next couple of items. You know, they need to be not satisfied already. One of the things that I did as product research for a social media product was I asked people what the biggest problem was, but the second question was, how easy has it been to get information about this? Because I wanted burning issues that they couldn't just put into Google. You know, if the answer is, let me Google that for you, then it's probably not going to be as profitable as something, I'm really frustrated because I have this problem and I can't find any help. Okay, then you're going to be able to swoop in as the, you know, white knight and solve all the problems.
People who are willing and able to pay.
Yeah, and this is another place where people fall down, because if they're not willing to put money into a solution, it doesn't matter how great the solution is. In fact, by overproducing, you're probably making it worse for yourself because you're putting more investment in something that'll never pay off. And I'll give you an example of a colleague of ours, Sonia, is really into fountain pens, you know, really special pens. And people in that community will spend a fortune on a pen, but they will not pay for advice about pens.
They want the product only, but if you're trying to build a business around, information or maybe entertainment might work, but information around those pens, they're not into it.
Yeah. And there's so much free information that they feel like there's no point. Whereas I'm in a niche making 3D printing, laser cutting, all that stuff, electronics. And yes, the big source of information is YouTube. They get it for free. So I thought, well, people buy books on this stuff. So somebody's spending money on information. So I did a pre-launch and said, well, in pre-launch, pay whatever you want, a dollar or above, and you'll get all the releases and you'll get to guide me, give me information about what you need. So it's almost a bespoke product. And sufficient people paid a dollar or more, actually between $1 and $25, that I knew there was something there, that it had legs, that it was an idea that people were willing to pay for. And so I started developing the product. So you can do a test, see if people are willing to pay before you build the whole thing. Don't spend a year creating a product only to find nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, these are we're taking a look at how to find the audience and what kinds of folks you want to look at in terms of who you're selling your digital products to. So that is kind of the concept here and the opening ideas about marketing the digital product. So how do you find these people? You already mentioned one of these, social research, but
yeah.
How are you going to find these people to sell to?
Yeah, I think we need to expand on that social research, because a lot of people think, if it's not on the first page of Facebook, then it doesn't exist. But that's not true. So if you go to the Twitter search and you do a search for anybody know, anybody help, anybody had this before, or, you know, can anybody fix? And then your keywords, you'll find people asking for help with specific things in your niche. And one of my clients years ago, consulting clients, found people talking about a certain brand of hair straightener were perfect for their beautician education, beauty and hair and beauty advice. Because the only people talking about this certain brand of hair straightener, like 90% of them were in their perfect target market. So it doesn't even have to be specifically the same question over and over because people phrase it differently, but you'll see the trends. So Twitter is great for that. Facebook groups where people go into the Facebook group to get help, forums, and then you can do webinars and Q&As and live streams. Anytime you can get your audience to ask you questions is like gold for this.
Yeah, and I think the concept here with the social research is that understanding generally that like human beings are, we're displaying our lives, sometimes more generally, sometimes the most intimate specific details of our lives, pouring it online into these services and sometimes, you know, personal websites, whatever it may be. But in terms of the social kind of social networks, it's all there, or it can be all there. But whether it's using, you know, hashtag searching in Instagram to get, you know, drill down to specific interests, geographic locations, people groups, markets, whatever it is, or in Facebook, even if you want to go, the paid route and test that out. I mean, shoot, you can drill down to, you know, specific individuals. I mean, obviously searching, but by using some of these products. So either, you know, whether it's paid or not, it's all there. It's just, you know, the work of finding it.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, in my niche, I went to Amazon and saw that people were buying books about this stuff. And I could see, I could do better than the books that the people were selling because, you know, especially on Kindle, people are putting together all kinds of rubbish and selling it. And they just happen to have a good title and, you know, it'll sell some. But also, once you see that the majority of people are getting the free information through YouTube, but the stuff that's being sold as written, I realized I could do a course, you know, a video-based course about the topics that people are buying in ebook form. So it's not about finding things that nobody has a product for that niche. It's about finding a way that you can fit into that niche.
Yeah. And you said before too, keep in mind that Amazon is one of the biggest search engines on earth. And in particular, as you just said, not only just for information, but largely for paid information on the ebook side, or you know, paperback or hardback side. So that is incredibly valuable information to look at the, you know, Amazon stats on the inside if you have an account with Kindle, or just in the charts. I mean, looking, you can, I don't know, you know, growing up in the bookstore era, this was kind of on the surface, but I mean, you can drill down using just what's on the, you know, non-logged in pages and see these incredibly small markets for these books. And to your point, what is selling or what is not selling?
Yeah.
And it's all there.
The reviews are also great because you look at the 2-star and the 3-star reviews, look at what the objections are. Now, the 1-star reviews are usually people who have a grudge. The 2 and 3 stars and 4 stars will have some objections in there. They'll have some valid criticism.
Yeah. All right. So that's an idea of kind of where to start with this. And obviously that can turn into an area of expertise in and of itself. But let's keep going here with starting before we get into Amelia is going to take us through the basics of selling a digital product on Rainmaker. Let's go into some of the philosophy of the process. What is involved in the process of selling a digital product? Why is this number one? I think most people on this call will understand this, but you started very specifically with this number one.
Yeah, but the challenge you've got is if you don't build your list, a customer list, and you want to sell to them again, or if you want to reach out to them with an improvement, you know, you've got a version 2, it's very difficult. So your biggest assets are your customer list, and secondary, your leads. Always build your list. So as soon as somebody checks out and buys your thing, you need to get them onto some sort of a list, and you need to keep that list backed up somehow. You know, you need to keep it warm. You need to keep it constantly engaged. You don't want people unsubscribing from it. I never understand why people unsubscribe from customer lists. It doesn't make any sense to me, but people do. So you need to keep them engaged. Build your list. So building a list isn't just about adding people to the list. It's about keeping people on the list. Don't let them churn. Don't let them leave. Find ways to keep them engaged.
Okay. Number two, what do you mean by go live?
So what we were talking about before about getting people to ask you questions, the other part of doing a Q&A or a webinar or a live stream is people tell you their resistance. They'll tell you their objections. They'll tell you what they really need out of it. So if you do a webinar and you have a Q&A, people say, okay, I believe it works for that group, but will it work for people like me? And so, you know, in your copy and in your launch, you need to address that as an objection. Or people say, sounds like it's expensive. And so you have to frame the value in a way that they see the value enough that it's good value for money for them. Or you need to find a way to make it more achievable for them, like payment plans. Or you need to reduce the price or have a small, medium, and large tactic.
Yeah.
But also it gets insight into their needs, because it's like, I'm a busy mom of seven. How is this going to fit into my life? Well, okay, you don't have to turn up live. It's all recorded. And so you can do it as and when. And, you know, you could just follow the worksheets and still get value out of it, which is like 15 minutes a day. So you have to answer how it's going to fit into their world, their business, their life. Some people say, I'm actually buying this, but I'm not going to go through it. My VA will go through it, and you need to have an answer for that. So it's really good to get those live interactions, because people tell you what they need from you and how they need it and what's holding them back from buying.
Could you do this in another format and with another tool, like a Slack channel or a Facebook group, or, you know, something that's not tied to video for those who, like me, don't particularly like the video?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the first thing to do is put question and answer ability into your email. So when people sign up to your list as a prospect, ask them to reply and have an email address that you send from that they can reply to. You know, encourage feedback and interaction on all your channels. But this is just a way of getting it all in one place very quickly. You don't have to do it necessarily this way.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, create your product.
And you don't have to have Hollywood special effects and production values. I created my most recent product using Apple Pages because it can output PDFs and they look kind of good. You don't have to use things like InDesign, but if you have somebody to outsource to, you know, the production values can help. I found the sales of my ebook really increased when I had a decent cover. I didn't want to believe that because I thought my sales page sold it, but putting a better cover on it sold it better. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So aesthetics matter. In the beginning, you know, if you do not have a budget to start with, that's a whole nother ball game. But as you move along and as, you know, you are in the process of selling and getting this business going, I mean, it's just, you can't ignore it. It's human nature, right?
Yeah. And one of the things you can, as I said, pre-sell it, which allows you to get some budget for this stuff, but you can use free software. You know, there's open source software, the software that comes with your operating system, and you can create a video product just by using YouTube and Google Hangouts. And, you know, so you don't necessarily have to have these production values, but you need to be able to create the product in a way that is accessible to your audience and in a way that they feel like they're getting value for money. And most of that will be the content, not necessarily how it's packaged. How it packaged does help, though.
And this goes back also to what you were previously talking about in the other section, which is, what does your audience want? I mean, maybe your audience just wants no frills, just give me the information. They don't care about the aesthetic side. Maybe your audience is extremely concerned with, you know, beauty and design, and you need to, you're going to have to figure out a way to do it. But what do they want again, I think is.
Yeah. One of my most profitable products, services was my coaching. It's $500 a month, and that was a Skype call, Dropbox for files, and my Gmail account. You know, you don't have to have all this production. Yep. But my courses were webinar based, so you would sign up and you would be emailed a registration link of the next webinar, and they would go on for a few weeks, and you would get the recordings like we're doing now. And you know, go to a webinar you can record with. I used to edit with ScreenFlow. There's Camtasia on the PC. You don't need to have all the, you know, superpowered software. It does help, but you can start humble. And as long as you deliver the content, deliver on your promises mainly, then it can all work out.
All right, let's keep buzzing through these, Mr. Garrett, because we'll have a section here. We'll bring on Amelia shortly to go through the specifics of Rainmaker, but the ability to charge for your product and deliver, thinking about
price. Yeah, that's built into Rainmaker, thankfully. This used to be a lot more difficult than it is today. And thankfully, you know, Rainmaker has this built in, but you just need to be able to find a way to get their money into your account. I had a funny story, though. A lady came back after 3 years of owning my course, my blogging course, and asked for a refund. And she seemed to believe that.
3 years.
Yeah, she seemed to believe that the money just sat in an account waiting for somebody to ask for a refund. You know, not that I had a mortgage to pay or anything. And she used all these big names, saying she knew them personally, and that she would tell them how horrible I was if I didn't give her a refund. And so I gave her a partial refund to get rid of her. But that whole idea of getting the money from their account into your account sometimes falls down because they don't want to pay or because they're not actually the person who owns the credit card. But in most cases, you know, your PayPal or, you know, the easy options are good enough to start with. Yeah. The one thing that you have to keep in mind is, and one of the powers of Rainmaker is there are now value-added taxes around the world on digital downloads, which didn't used to be. They're calling it the Amazon tax and the Netflix tax. And that's a shame. I don't like this idea, but you do have to keep into account, you know, that in certain jurisdictions, you do have to deal with this. So in Rainmaker, there's a thing called Taximo, which deals with it for you.
The fifth item here in this overview of what it takes to create and sell a digital product is to create the sales page. This sounds like copy blogger territory. Sounds like 10 years of teaching.
Yeah. And another great thing about Rainmaker is that 10 years of teaching has been built into the example sales pages in your landing pages tool. And my most recent sales page is pretty much taking that sales page and filling in the blanks. So, you know, you don't have to be a master copywriter. And actually, with the content marketing strategy, they will be pre-sold before they get to the sales page, hopefully. You know, you're not just going to turn up on one Monday in their inbox saying, hey, I've got a product. Hopefully, you've done some build-up and some warm-up. But yeah, the sales page is the thing that takes people from a maybe to a yes.
I was a little hurt you didn't hire me to write your sales page, but we can talk about that later. Number six.
I know you're busy right now, Rob, but don't be hurt. I know you've got a lot on your plate.
The ability to check out the cart and getting out of here and moving on to the next one, which is delivery of the product, but the checkout here.
Yeah, so it's not just about getting the money from their account to your account, which is the most important bit, but you also need to know who they are, how to reach them in future, how they can get access to your product. We used to use these like ebook delivery systems like eJunkie, and that was great, but all it would do was deliver to their email inbox. And as we were talking about earlier with the license keys, if you can't find it again, you feel a little bit burned by that. So it's really great to not just deliver the product once, but also say, here's how to keep getting access to it. Here's how to come back here's how to get to your download page, log in using a username and password, and being able to reset your password, right? So that they don't feel like it was just a receipt they've purchased, to feel like it's actually something that they're going to have future access to. It's nice to give lifetime access, or at least, 12 months of access. And that's another thing that Rainmaker shines with, giving people a download area, giving people access.
Yeah. Number 7 of 9 is be polite, say thank you.
Yeah, and the evil marketer side of me also thinks this is a perfect opportunity to upsell them. So, would you like fries with that? Okay.
Yeah. This idea of just purchased, in the mood, send them the thank you and maybe a little something to offer or something else.
Yeah, and what we've got here is also an opportunity for your metrics. In your Google Analytics, you're going to want to set a goal. You're going to want to say, if people reach this page, it means they've purchased this thing, they've taken this action, and then you can develop your strategy to get more of that to happen. Where's my good lead source? Who's referring the best customers to me? What did I do that got more people to buy? I wrote a post and it got more customers, or that guest post over on ProBlogger got more customers than my guest post on Tim's Tool Time, right? So what is it that I'm doing that's getting customers? If you don't have a place that new customers go to, it's harder to measure.
All right. And build your customer email list, which is different from number one of build your email list. What do you mean by that? And why is that valuable?
So building your customer email list as a whole, right? So they're a customer of mine is super important. We mentioned that earlier. But having a specific customer list for that product is also important if you can do it. So either you need to tag them or you need to have them on a specific list to say they bought the ebook. Why would you want to do that? Well, they bought the ebook, but did they buy the home study program? Do they want to upsell to the live webinar coaching course? Do they want one-to-one coaching? And at the same time, do you want to suppress that list? Do you want to email everybody that is going to the live event?
Right.
And suppress the people who aren't going to the live event? Do you want to do a discount? Do you want to say, okay, this ebook's 50% off? Well, you don't want to email your existing ebook customers to say you could have had it for half price.
Yep. There's a thousand different ways that you might want to slice this up in terms of communications to buyers and non-buyers. But the first thing you said was this customer email list is extremely valuable because they're customers. They've paid you in terms of both taking care of them, but also your future business. So that's a super smart one, man. Lastly, before we go into some specifics with the Rainmaker platform with Amelia, and then we'll do some questions. This what Sonia calls the autoresponder. What does she call it? The mule. I don't know what it is. The donkey of it's something really offensive, and yeah. But it unendingly works hard on your behalf once you have it set up. But the email autoresponder.
And the first thing in your email autoresponder should be, that thank you. And obviously you could have a receipt, but go into what they're going to get out of this and how to get the best out of it, and encourage consumption of the product. Just delivering the product's not enough. They need to actually consume it, take action on it, because that's how you're going to get your case studies and your testimonials. So in software as a service and, the software world, we call it onboarding, but there's onboarding for an ebook. Get them to read the introduction, get them to read the chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep reminding them of what they purchased and why. What was motivating them to buy the thing in the first place? And then get them to take action. Small actions lead to big actions, Can you get them to go all the way through it, and can you hold them accountable to the thing they said they wanted to do? If you can do that, then you've got the chance that people are going to say, I bought this thing and I got this result. That's the best testimonial you can get. In fact, the very best testimonial is, I didn't think this would work, but I tried it anyway. And wow, look at my results. You know, I've got 197 new customers just by taking, you know, one or two actions from this book. That is going to give you those testimonials that get other people off of the ledge. You know, they're going to get off the fence and they're going to say, all right, I'm going to give it a chance because somebody like me has had results from it. So don't overlook the autoresponder as being a way to get people from being a purchaser to an owner to somebody who's an action taker.
And lastly on this, something you said a few minutes ago about, you know, basically once it's set, it really isn't set it and forget it. It is in the sense of it'll keep working as long as you have it up. But it's smart to go back and look at this based on data that you want to, like you said, from the thank you email, you want to have a little bit of feedback here, in the end, even data, depending on how you do it. But what is working in this autoresponder? Are there opportunities for offering other things in there as time goes on, as your audience grows or changes maybe, or your products change?
And you will know where people start from that feedback. You'll know where people have challenges. And if there's anything additional you need to ask or add, or any different ways you need to position things, or like any explanations you need to make, but also what the complementary products are going to be. People don't finish at 101 usually in a niche. They'll then want to go to 202. They want to go to the next level. Yeah. People graduate and they want to graduate with the same teachers. You know, if they're happy with what you did in the first place, they will want to continue the journey with you, or it might branch off. You know, in like my niche, there's electronics, there's robots, but also there's woodworking and there's metalworking. Do people want to branch? Do they want to, you know, go horizontally, or do they want to go deeper? That's how you make a business rather than a product.
All right, Mr. Garrett, why don't you take a break for a minute, kick back, grab a coffee, whatever.
It's time for whiskey.
It's time for a whiskey. Sure. 9:40 a.m. where I am. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this. If you could hang on, and certainly if you want to chime in on anything in the specifics of the next section, feel free to do so. But we'll come back and answer a few questions today. But for everyone on the line listening now, I'll give you the reminder that we're having same time, 9 Pacific, 12 Eastern, next Tuesday, I believe it's July 18th. A full Q&A based on this webinar. And I have a feeling that a lot of those questions are going to come from Amelia Briscoe's next little section here regarding how to do this stuff specifically with Rainmaker. And the only caveat I want to give before bringing Amelia on is this is not meant to be comprehensive. This next section, Amelia put some screenshots together. This is going to be really an overview that if you have questions, we'll, like I say, we'll answer a few today, but the next week, same time, same place, 1 week from now, and we'll send you a reminder email on that. That Q&A is the place to ask more questions where we just have more time to kind of spread out and talk about them. And there is a link already in the chat where you can go to rainmakerplatform.com it's a Q&A page for this webinar. You can drop it in there. There's a form there. You can drop your question. And that is where we would love for you to drop questions for next week's Q&A. So anyway, a lot of talking to say. This one's going to be a bit of an overview. And let's get on with it. Amelia, are you there and are you ready?
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for putting this together. And I also want to say there is another link in the should be in the chat for a video on Vimeo that Amelia put together that is incredible. It's a 40-minute video talking about what this next section is. We're going to just spend 5 minutes going over this overview here, but you can also, so two things, the Q&A next week and this Vimeo video that Amelia put together, this 40-minute video that is more detail about what we're about to talk about. So Amelia Briscoe, thank you for being here. We are going to do this overview of how to actually use Rainmaker to sell digital products. And I'll get us on the right slide here.
Cool. So this is definitely a basic overview. So I'm really glad that you gave that caveat. I went on the premise that this is selling a digital download. So I've only gone through how to sell a basic ebook, both in these screens, here and in the video as well. So if you're at the very beginning of everything, then the video might be great for you to get that overview or that step-by-step process of how to set everything up.
Perfect.
So going based on what Chris was just going through, the first thing is obviously setting up that product to sell. And that's what we've got the screenshot here at the moment. So in Rainmaker, if you go into conversion and products, you have the ability to create a new product. So in the screenshot here, I've gone through just adding a description and a title, and those things will be shown on your checkout page. So you can make that quite descriptive for your customers. I've added in a thank you page. So that's one of the things you might want to create before you go ahead and create your product, is that you want to set up a thank you page. And that thank you page is the page that the customer lands on after they've finished the checkout process. And this is a good time to let the customer know what to do next, where they can go and access their download, to go and make sure they've confirmed their opt-in with your email list if you're doing that. So that's where you can select that thank you page. I've set this up as a very basic product. There are other options there for you. You could set up like a time-limited product, which would allow you to give access for X amount of time, but I've just left that as a basic product. I've then just set an arbitrary price in the video. It's by no means the price that you need to set your download for. So you might have a different price you want to put there. So I've just put that as an arbitrary amount. Underneath, I've then put in the email receipt and added in some details there. At any point in that video, you're allowed to pause and come back to it. So if you want to copy exactly what I've written into pages or even to this email receipt, you're more than welcome to pause and come back to it. But in this email receipt, I've just listed in a few details for the customer so they know where to log in and what their login username is going to be, some details about the product and a transaction ID. And I've also added my email address in as the sender blind copy to. And a couple of tips I put into that video is if you want to receive a notification that you've sold something, this is a great way of doing that, because you do get an email in your inbox, and that's a great way of seeing that someone's purchased from you. So if you want to get notified about any sales, that's a good tip there. And I've also used Rainmail in this example, and just set up a basic email list. And then I've added in a member group. And a member group is the access. So a lot of people get confused about the idea of a product and then actually putting the product on a page. And I kind of like to think about this as like buying a ticket for a concert. So the product is the ticket. It's not the actual concert. The concert is the content that you're embedding into your site. So you are just allowing them to purchase access to go and view that particular content in the same way that a ticket just allows you to get in to go and view the concert. In the next screen,
Amelia, sorry to jump in.
Yeah,
I'm confused with the slides here. Two things. I put these slides, you got these great screenshots to me. It is my fault that a couple of these are way too small, but we'll provide, you know, the actual screenshots, but those are in the video as well. And then secondly, yes. I see people are, bigger so you can actually see it, asking where the Vimeo, and that is my fault, not yours. So just so everybody's clear, asking, we cannot find the Vimeo video. Is that available? Let's see here. If everybody, we'll make sure we get this before it's over.
I did put the Vimeo in the chat, but it'll be on the replay page as well. Cool. And I've just read the slides so people can zoom into the screenshots as we.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I wanted to make sure that I think I was not keeping up with the slides. But anyway, carry on.
Okay. I might get you to go back one slide if that's okay, sure. Robert.
Sure.
Okay.
I'd just like to point out, it just shows that you don't need Hollywood production values.
I was going to make that point. This is exactly what we're getting at. mainly because I'm in charge of putting this thing together. But anyway, this is awesome.
Your voice makes up for everything, Robert.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Okay, so the screen that I've got here, so once you've created the product, the next part is to actually get your ebook up on your site. And so you need to go and create a download, which you do from the conversion area and in the download manager. And this is a screenshot of the settings that you're going to need to configure. So you'll need to give it a title. Underneath, you'll see that upload new file. So this is where you can browse through to your computer and find that ebook that you're going to be uploading. A few other settings there that you probably see that I've checked and haven't checked. So publicly accessible just lets you know if you want to make it accessible to the public, which we're not doing in this case. So we leave that unchecked. Tracking of the downloads. If you want to track how many times the ebook has been downloaded, you'll be able to check that box there. And there's also a short code that you can include in your profile page, which will just list out all the downloads that a member has access to. So if you're going to be adding more in the future, you might want to include it in that download so that you can list out the downloads in the members profile page later. And of course, I've made sure that my Broccoli members, because it's a Broccoli ebook, I've made sure that I've checked that so that those members have specific access. So in the next
Broccoli, did you actually write this Broccoli ebook, or is it just a
No, it's just a dummy. I had no idea what to come up with, and Broccoli was the first thing that entered my head. So
all right, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so the next thing after you've created your download, you'll be given a link in that previous screen. So if you can go back very quickly, Robert, there's once you've saved everything, there's a link URI, and that is the actual link that you give to your customers to download that ebook. So we can go back to the next slide. And next thing to do is to create a page where you're going to send your customers to go and download that ebook. Now, you can use the profile page if you wish to, but I've actually set up a separate members download page because, you know, in the future I might have more books on Broccoli because we all love Broccoli and I want to add them there. I go through what all these short codes mean. They are short codes that allow you to segment what the customer sees and what a non-customer sees based on whether they're logged in or not. That's the ebook there. And I show you how to add the image as well. So your download link is not just a link, but it's an image that your customers can click on. So the next screen. Okay, so this is just how the download page currently looks for a member. And in the next screen, you'll then see what it looks like for a non-member. So if they land on that page as a non-member, they would see a login form and put a link there to go and purchase if they haven't already. There we go. Excellent. Okay. Now, in the next step is to create your sales page or your landing page. And this screenshot might be a bit small again, I apologize.
That's my fault, not yours.
That's okay. So I've created a landing page just using the template builder. I haven't used any custom landing page that I've set up. So this is where you go and do that. So just in the content area, click on landing page and you can come in and create a new landing page. I've just used a very basic one where I can add the image, some call to actions and some features there. If we go into the next slide, I've then just in the settings area of the landing page, I've added in a background image because it required it. I've just played around with the green colours there in the page colour selection. And there's a little bit of code there at the bottom because I've hidden a couple of sections in that landing page, a little bit tricky there. If you have any custom changes you want to make to the landing page, just email the support team and we are more than happy to help you with any of those changes.
Is that a picture of your office?
No, I wish it was. I wish I had like an American warehouse kind of apartment. And that's what the landing page will look like when you go to view it. And when you go to view it, obviously down the bottom, there's a call to action there to buy now. And that takes us over to the checkout page, which is the next step. There is a built-in checkout page for you to use. And I go through in the video how to change the checkout page to customize bits and pieces. So changing the headings of each of the sections on the checkout page, as well as change how the button text appears for your customers, whether they're new customers. They may even be existing customers that are purchasing, so you can do all those kinds of things. And I've added those little parameters in between the checkout form short code there that's going to output all those details. And if we go to the next screen, that's what it looks like for a logged in member. So you'll see that I've added in some custom details and a custom button there. And in the next screen, that's what it looks like for a brand new member when they come to your site. So it looks a little bit different because they haven't set up a user profile yet. And lastly, I think in the last slide, there's a thank you page. So the checkout process has all been completed. The customer's put in their user details, they've made a payment. Next thing that happens is once that's all processed, they come to this thank you page. And I mentioned at the beginning that this is a great place to add some custom messages for your customer on what to do next. So in the video, I've gone through how to set up that little button that says download your ebook now. And I've also gone through a couple of little tricks. That's actually a little GIF there on the side of the thank you there. So I'll go through how to quickly add in a GIF if you want to add in some animation, and going through how to add in those images underneath, because this is assigned to an email list and you'll want your customers to know that they've got to go and check their emails to confirm they want to receive more emails from you. So I've added that message in there. And I think that is the last slide. Yes, it is.
That's awesome. Thank you, Amelia. That is okay. So that is a lot of information, obviously. And it's a killer overview, I think, of a general idea of how to, you know, wrap our mind around this. Like we say, let's do a couple of questions. Amelia, if you're able to stick around, and if Mr. Garrett has had sufficient whiskey, we are also joined by the illimitable Brian Hayes, who cannot be stopped. We'll do a few questions now, but remember that Vimeo link to everybody listening is a more expanded version. Of course, you can pause it and look more closely at, you know, some of the details of this. But this is a great overview. So thank you for that, Amelia. And then, of course, check out the link to drop your questions for next week's Q&A. But let's take about 15 minutes and go through some 10, 15 minutes and go through some video questions here. And since I am non-Hollywood production value, I have no idea. What's the best way?
I'll handle the questions, Robert. You can take a rest. So a lot of people are thanking Amelia. Paul says, nice presentation, Amelia. And Bob wants to adopt you, Amelia. So that might be your green card right there.
America.
Laurie actually had a $1 million idea, I believe. She wants to create a doll that when you squeeze it, Robert's voice says, "That's not your fault, that's mine." So
I would buy one.
Yeah, I would buy one too. I'll do the voiceover today.
Yeah, I'll squeeze it 24/7. Yeah, Bob says a green card from the green guy. Okay. So Tracy says, always appreciative of Amelia as well. Okay, so enough gold stars for Amelia. Let's get into the questions. So Kelly says, do you need to create these pages for each download? So there's a couple of ways approaching that, right, Amelia? You could have one download area with short codes for the various things, or you could have different pages. How would you approach it?
If you're going to be doing a lot of downloads and you want everything nicely wrapped up in the one place, I would... with that member download page that was in the screenshot, you could use something like that to just keep adding ebooks to. If the message is going to be more customized, that's when I would probably create a custom area for them. But I would try and utilize what's there and keep everything together so it's not so confusing. Because then you've got to maintain all of that.
Yeah, and for your navigation, it's easier to just have a /downloads or /members and put it straight in your navigation, right? So that people can, if they're not logged in, they can log in. If they are logged in, they can get everything they've got access to. It starts getting a bit complicated. And you only need one checkout page, though. You don't, unless you want to customize it, you can have the same checkout page for all your products, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you've got the use of that product title and description when you're creating the actual product. So, you know, that changes dynamically on the checkout page based on what product you're purchasing. So you can always use that if you need to add any custom messages. And just as a tip, that product description box, you can add HTML code in there. So you can actually add little boxes and a list, and you can add links and colors and stuff. So,
yeah. And if you're using the LMS, which isn't specifically what we're talking about today, there's the ability to have like little dashboards and stuff. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully we answered that question, but do let us know if that wasn't specifically what you wanted. Yes, there should be the slides and the video in the chat box, but all of this is going to be on the the download page, on the replay page for the webinar. So you shouldn't miss anything. Some more appreciation for Amelia. So I hope you're getting enough validation today, Amelia, because you're not getting a bonus.
It's nice that everyone enjoys the presentation, and specifically my accent.
So a couple of people asked about the autoresponder. What would you put in it? The first thing I would put in it is, you know, what I said before about here's what you bought and probably, you know, some information about why and what they should do next, and also what to expect in future if there's going to be other downloads or any other emails. But check in a few weeks, like 2 to 3 weeks, and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, have you read the ebook? How much of the course have you gone through? You got any questions? And just check in with people, because people forget that they bought books. I've bought products twice in the past because I see a sales page and think, oh, that looks good. And then, you know, I find that I've got two copies of the DVD or the book in print, or, you know, even I've bought it both on iBooks and Kindle. So, you know, remind people what they bought.
Paul's asked a question about a grid to show multiple products, and I really wanted to show this little trick in the video, but I thought it was getting a bit too, you know, quote unquote ninja. There is some, there's something called column classes, and it's some HTML code that you can put into the text area of that main content editing when you're creating a page or post, and it allows you to create rows of columns. So you can actually use that and put your downloads in between or in each column, and that will create a grid layout. If you want some more details, Paul, just email support and we can walk you through it. But I didn't put it in the video because I thought it was a little bit too much as a basic, you know, video.
Yeah, that would make a great tip. That's would be awesome to add to the replay page, in fact. But yeah, good to know that. Jean asks, they've got a guitar lesson for $10 and they will show multiple products. How do you password protect the lesson so only they can view it, or is there another remedy? I would do what Amelia showed, get people to check out and log in, and then they only get access to what they're allowed to see. Password protecting a video can be done. I mean, you can do it on Vimeo, right? You can send people straight to Vimeo and it can have password protected collections of videos or a single video. But I like the idea of keeping it on your own domain, having a member area, allowing them to change the password, you know, having their own password. So it's not the same password for everybody. Because remember, if you have one password for something, it means that if it gets out, you have to change it for everybody. And they can share it with anybody they like, because they feel less risk in sharing that password because it's a one size fits all. I mean, in WordPress or Rainmaker, you can password protect a page as well. You just have a password that everybody puts in. But I'd rather individual logins. And it's, you know, it's better for the customer and it's better for you.
Unless there are any more pressing questions for right this moment, maybe we should save save it for next week's big Q&A. And unless I mean, Amelia's video really is great. I encourage people to go check that out. You know, so we could be in a situation where there's just not many questions for a Q&A, and we'll let you know if we're going to not do that. But if not, we will be here Tuesday this coming week from today, July 18th, 9 a.m. Pacific, high noon Eastern. Mr. Garrett, Amelia, Brian Hayes, and Kelton Reed, who you cannot hear or see, who ran
behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's we'll all be here. We'll answer your questions. So two things: we'll send you an email as soon as this is up. We'll shoot an email out with this webinar available and some other stuff along with it. A link to that video, but also a registration for that Q&A. You can go register now if you want, and then drop your question as well. So those two things for now. And Mr. Garrett, anything else that you'd like to drop here before we close this out?
I just dropped the link again for the Q&A form, so you should be able to sign up and, you know, put your question in. And got a question from Mike. Will we see the questions ahead of time? Probably not, because the questions come right up to the start time of the Q&A. So, you know, there's a little bit of a scramble at the end to make sure that we've got all the questions in. So probably not be sharing the questions ahead of time. But, you know, it's, if you don't want to join, or if you can't join us live, then you can always get the recording as well. Yeah. So even if you can't join live, put your question in and we'll still answer it.
Yep. All right. I want to thank you again, Chris Garrett, Amelia Brisco, Brian Hayes, Kelton Reed, and I especially want to thank everybody who joined us here today in the studio audience, really. I appreciate everyone who's here. We will see you next week, Tuesday, July 18th, for that Q&A. Drop your questions, and thanks, everybody. We'll catch you later.
Catch you next time.